All right. They say the third time is the one you get there. The third, you know, three times. And we're doing it now with Mike DeFelice. He's the baseball coach at Winthrop High School. And, Coach, thank you for being patient, and welcome to MSO.
It's not a problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. First of all, Coach, I want to get into the DeFelice family in Winthrop and Swampscott and all over the world, actually. you've been coaching for quite a while, but how long have you been head coach now at Winthrop?
This is my second year.
Second year. All right, but that, does that include last year?
Yes. So this is technically my first year on the field. But
there you go. All right. Yeah. I want to get into that, but first I do want to get into the family heritage, Coach, because, Frank DeFelice, Bob DeFelice, very famous names here in high school and college on the North Shore and beyond. And I'm just wondering, have the three of you ever totaled up your wins?
It'd be sitting down and tolling up their wins. I think anything that I accomplish pales in comparison to those two men. But we do get the opportunity to sit down and talk football and baseball quite a bit. So it's always something special for me when I get to bend either one of their ears.
That must be amazing, because we did do an exit interview with Coach DeFelice when he was retiring from college a couple of years ago. That would be Bob. Now, your dad is Bob?
Yes.
Okay, so we talked with Bob, and then I got to meet Frank DeFelice several times, but most recently at the Item Sports Banquet, and he sat at a table with Frank Carey and Roger Day, and among them they had 1,500 wins. So it just makes makes my head spin.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, it is.
Absolutely unbelievable.
But it must be great to be able to talk with them. I used to talk with my dad about artillery. We were both in the artillery, and to have that, to be able to talk with a generation apart, that it's two things. It makes you closer together, I think, but you also learn stuff.
Well, I don't think you're going to find two better resources anywhere, to be honest with you, in terms of their wealth of knowledge, not just with the game of baseball, but coaching and with kids and helping young people become better men, coaching predominantly men in all of our lifetimes. So you're just not going to find two better guys to go to or listen to or two better examples to follow than my father and my uncle. So,
absolutely.
But you learn so much just sitting and listening to their stories. You could learn, just a whole wealth of knowledge comes from listening to the stories they tell about when they grew up and how they came up and, their lifetime competing in sports, and then obviously what they've accomplished as coaches speaks for itself.
Yeah, and there's a commonality there, but you're right. The things you know sports, you know coaching, you know teaching, but nevertheless, there are things that when you talk with other guys that, oh, wow, I know that, or wow, I didn't know that, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
I listened to Roger Day one day at a football game for about 10 minutes, and I thought I knew baseball. Forget about it. I learned more in 10 minutes, so I'm sure it's the same way with your dad and your uncle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, guys like Roger, my father, my uncle, Frank DeMarco, the guy that was my predecessor here, went to high school. You're talking about a group of men that, have forgotten more baseball than I'll ever know. So it's just great to have those guys around and in your life in some capacity. So.
All right. So now, how long have you been coaching altogether, Coach?
Baseball, this is my 12th season at Winthrop, and probably my 15th season coaching baseball overall.
Wow, okay.
And I've been coaching football for about 30 years now.
When we talk to the Winthrop coaches, Tim Kearns and I, we find a common thread between Gloucester and Winthrop on opposite ends of the North Shore, because they're two working class towns, basically, with a small population in school, but really kids who have a great legacy and culture of competition, in their communities. And I know that when I used to teach at Gloucester High School, and taking the road trip down to Winthrop, we used to call it the road trip to hell, because it was tough to get there, and you knew you weren't going to come out of there alive unless you really fought hard. And I say that, jokingly, but great competition.
Oh, absolutely.
And the culture at Winthrop High School is just amazing, overall.
Well, it is, and I think, you saw it up at Gloucester, because we've always said the same thing. We just think that, comparatively to Gloucester kids, we always say it's just like Winthrop kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're tough. They're going to battle. They're going to give you everything they have, and it's across the board in all sports. You see that up there. And like you said, I think that's the culture and the approach that our kids have always taken. You know, we're one of the smaller schools on the North Shore, so they always carry that little bit of a chip on their shoulder, you know, being like the redheaded stepchild in the conference almost.
Yeah.
And, so, but again, I see the similarities that you're talking about. There's no question, and that the Gloucester kids are cut from the same cloth. So,
now, Coach Cadigan had a great year in football. Do you have some of the football kids on the baseball team?
Yeah, we have. We only have one or two like pure baseball players in the baseball program. Most of our kids are multi-sport athletes, two and three sport athletes, and we have eight of the football players on the varsity baseball team.
Excellent, excellent. Now, what about the? Excuse me, the fact that you didn't play last year, it's been over 700 days between seasons for spring sports. What was it like, Coach, getting together, assembling your staff, your team, your workout schedule and all that for this particular season? You know, first year as head coach on the field. So, you know, how was this different? How did things work out for you? And then we'll get to the season.
I think, Rick, that everybody's was in the same boat. I don't see it as a unique experience, and it's something that we kept trying to reinforce with the kids, and I know it was something that Coach Cadigan did with the football team and Coach Dunbar did with the hockey team and the basketball coach. We're not unique. So everybody had to go through, I think, kind of the same trials and tribulations with what we dealt with. But we were ready to go. And I think that's what was most impressive. They were chomping at the bit to get going. I mean, the football kids, the minute football was over, they were right into baseball and they were excited about it. And they had just come off a Northeast Conference championship season, beat Masco on the last day of the season. And then 36 hours later, they were on the baseball field. They were great. But again, I mean, it was just, we were ready to go because I think everything was in place from the previous year. You know, we were having voluntary workouts and hitting in the gym and doing some things, and the staff was assembled. So we were ready to go, I think, for the most part. It was disappointing, obviously, to get shut down last spring. But again, it happened to everybody. So it wasn't, you know, a situation that was unique to just us by any means. And so it was great for us because I just think that the minute football was over and we got the green light, we were ready to go that Monday. And shorter preseason, I think that presented some challenges. I wouldn't say COVID per se, but just even the shorter preseason because we were trying to get all the kids to get a season in, and the way we adjusted it, the calendar to do it. I think that, you know, because we had a couple of rain days in there, our preseason was about 6 days, to be honest.
Right, right.
And that showed on opening day against Marblehead. Marblehead is always a very, very well coached baseball program. Coach Giardi's an unbelievable baseball coach, and you know they just came into town. And to be honest, we just weren't ready. We had a tough day, but we played hard. We battled. We did the things that we were supposed to do from a competitive standpoint. Kept ourselves in the game right up until about the fifth inning, and then it got away from us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that more than anything else is what presented a challenge for us, not necessarily the pandemic itself.
Right. Well, the thing is you have that gap where you're missing varsity experience, because your most experienced players now were sophomores when they last played. So,
correct.
And that's true across the board. I get that.
And there's only three of them. So we have
kids
on the varsity baseball team that have any varsity experience.
Okay, well that puts you behind the eight ball for sure. And then the other thing is you've got to things that you might be able to square away in preseason in terms of positioning and you know normal fundamentals. You're sort of going to have to do that as the season goes along. Now you've played a very busy schedule so far, so maybe you could tell me a little bit about that and who some of your kids have been as leaders.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's hard to pinpoint you know a small handful of kids because. Our sophomores, our juniors, and certainly our seniors are all demonstrating tremendous leadership. They're a very tight-knit group of kids. They work very, very hard. They're very, very competitive. So singling out individuals, I mean, I'll single out my captains because those are the three kids that I just mentioned that have varsity experience. David DiCicco is our number one pitcher and our starting center fielder, and he's headed to Curry in the fall to play baseball. Cam Conway is a guy that just does everything for us. He's a starting pitcher. He's a third baseman. He's a second baseman. He asked me this morning if he could throw on the pads and go behind the plate.
Wow.
And then Bobby Hubert, and I'm sure you're very familiar with that name, being that he was, an all-scholastic football player on the football team. So, those guys just, you know, they they know how to come out and work their tails off and have fun at the same time. They embrace the philosophy of the program, which is fun with a purpose. And they set just the most tremendous example that I expect the younger kids to look at and follow. And they don't really have to say a whole lot. There's not a whole lot of rah-rah stuff that needs to be done, nor are those three kids those type of leaders. They just set a tone, and the other kids, you know, bring themselves up to that level, and it's just great to watch. So
I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I'm hearing it across the board with all the schools and kids. I don't think they really grasp how historic this past 12, 14, 15 months have been.
Yeah.
And the fact that they still got to participate not only in school but also on the athletic field because of your efforts and the efforts of coaches and administrators and teachers and parents. And they will later on. It's going to be a great experience. But in the now, they're out there doing what you ask them to do. And it seems to me, Coach, and I'm getting it from you right now, you're all having fun with this, even though, you know, it's competitive, but you're having fun.
Yeah, and I think that was, as a coaching staff, we sat down and we talked about what this group of seniors has gone through over the course of, like you said, the past 15, 16 months of their lives. They've had a lot of things that they've been deprived of as their junior year wound down and their senior year, they went through their senior year. And to think back on all the things that they've had taken away from them and that they've lost, the fact that they get out and get to get out and play, they have such tremendous sense of they value that tremendously. So it's great to see them out there hustling with smiles on their faces and loving the fact that they get to be outside playing baseball and then, you know, that we didn't lose it like we did last year.
Exactly. All right, so let's see now. Was it Salem Academy today?
Yes.
And I have to ask you for the final.
I believe it was 20-2.
Okay. And that was that be a five-inning game?
It was a three and a half.
Okay. All right. And I think you mentioned in our warm up that Salem, young team, just getting it together. And so, you know, you guys, an easy time with that one, which doesn't really, I guess, help either team sometimes, but you did get to see some things. And what I want to ask you about, two games in 2 days, how's the pitch count rule, working? It's a new deal this year.
Well, it's, you know, the philosophy behind it is sound in theory, but it's becoming a nightmare for us baseball coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not something that we've ever really had to worry about or wonder about. You know, you kind of let a kid go when he pitches, and then when he's ready to pitch again, you let him pitch again. And
mm-hmm.
we never had to put as much thought into it as we have to now. So it presents some challenges because you've got to be thinking, you know, the next game ahead, the next day ahead, whatever it is. I mean, like today we played back-to-back games, so we had to sit down on Thursday and think about how we were going to strategize
mm-hmm.
the pitch count and with the individual pitchers and how far they were going to go in each game. And trust me, after four games, it never works out the way you expect it to. So, you know, the kid always ends up staying in longer or throwing more pitches than you anticipated because you're in a certain situation in the game and taking them out doesn't make sense. So it's just, it creates some challenges and a little bit of stress for us, but it's certainly manageable. And as I said, the philosophy behind it is obviously very sound. So.
Okay. Well, I'll go with that. I just have so questions about that, but you guys know what you're doing and I have no idea. What's next now? What's coming up this week?
We have Peabody on Wednesday at our place, and I forget who we have on Friday.
Okay, well, Monday will work. That's good.
We have the Sereno tournament next weekend over at Malden Catholic with Malden Somerville and the team we played today, Salem Academy.
All right, so you're going to get about 15 games in overall?
We're going to play 19 total, I believe.
Whoa, all right, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
My athletic director was absolutely outstanding in allowing us to build some stuff beyond our league play. And again, his mindset is he wants the kids to enjoy this as much as humanly possible. And so he allowed us to pick up, I think, six or seven non-league games on top of the league schedule that we had, which was great. So.
All right. That is Winthrop High School baseball coach Mike DeFelice with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.